Chapter 49. Now Lake Genusar, indeed, derives its name from the adjacent country. Now its breadth is 40 stadia, and its length 140. Despite its extent, its waters are both sweet to the taste and drinkable. For even clearer than marsh water with its thick sediment, it is perfectly pure. Every edge of the lake ends in pebbly or sandy beaches. But when drawn, the water is temperate. Indeed, it is more soothing than river or spring water. But due to the lake's great expanse, it is invariably cooler than one would be led to expect. For indeed, when one exposes this water to the air, it becomes as cold as snow, as the people of the country are in the habit of doing during the summer nights. Now, the lake contains several kinds of fish, differing both in taste and appearance from those found elsewhere. Now the Jordan runs through the middle of the lake. And indeed, the apparent source of the Jordan is thought to be Paneon. But in reality, it rises from the pool called Thiale, from which it passes by an unseen subterranean channel to Paneon. Now Thiale is found 120 stadia away from Caesarea, on the right side of the road ascending to Trachon, and not far from it. Therefore indeed, the pool derives its name Thiale from its form, circular like a wheel. But its water always fills the basin to the brim, without ever subsiding or overflowing. But it was long unknown that this was the true source of the Jordan. This fact was proved by Philippos, Tetrarch of Trachon. For he had chaff thrown into Thiale and found it cast up at Paneon, where the ancients believed that the river had its origin. Therefore, indeed, the natural beauties of Paneon have been embellished by the royal liberality of Agrippa and adorned at great expense. Now, after issuing from this cavern, the Jordan, whose course is now visible, indeed intersects the marshes and lagoons of Lake Samkuna. Now, after it runs another 120 stadia, it first passes below the city of Iulias, and then runs through the middle of Lake Genusar, from which, after meandering through a long desert, it ends by falling into the Lake of Asphalt. Now, skirting Lake Genusar lies a country bearing the same name. Both its natural properties and beauty are very remarkable. For there is not one kind of tree which its fertile soil refuses to produce. And in fact, its cultivators grow all kinds of trees there. But the air is so well-tempered that it suits even the most opposite varieties. Yet, indeed, the walnut, a tree which delights in the coolest climate, flourishes here luxuriantly. There are also palm trees, which thrive in a hot climate, but also fig trees and olive trees, which require a milder climate. One may call this place nature's love of honor, where it has forced the most discordant kinds to collect in a single spot. And that by a happy rivalry, as if each of the seasons wished to claim this region for their own. For not only does this country have the surprising merit of producing such diverse kinds of fruits, instead, it also preserves them. Yet indeed, throughout 10 consecutive months, it supplies men with the principal fruits, both the grape and the fig. But the rest of the fruits ripen on the trees throughout the entire year. For besides being favored by its good climate, the country is watered by a highly fertilizing spring, which the countrymen call Kfar Nahum. Because it produces a fish resembling the coracine found in Lake Alexandria, some have thought this to be a branch of the Nile. Now, this region extends along the border of the lake which bears its name for a length of 30 stadia, and inland to a depth of 20. This indeed is the nature of this place.